The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything you'd like to talk about, as long as it's about your health. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let's talk about your stuff and, you know, what we can do to make it better. Perhaps you've had a problem, you've tried, you've applied, and, you know, you come up with the same stuff, nothing that really works, that's just limping you along, the drugs that you take, the surgery that you're contemplating, not necessary, perhaps. And this is an opportunity for you to find out about that. We're going to talk about a very specific condition today that affects eight out of 10 Americans at some point of their life. It's ridiculous how many of you put up with this and are putting yourselves through narcotics and then surgery and so forth because you don't know that there's a better way. But in studio with me to discuss acute and chronic low back pain, none other than the professor, Dr. Browning.
Good to be here, Tom.
Hey, buddy. Good to talk to you. Again, as always, we come up with a process, a problem, if you will, that so many people are suffering from, and they really need to know what they can do about it. And this Wednesday evening, the 24th of January, 7 p.m., at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, you're going to be doing that whole scenario, that whole presentation on that condition, low back pain, whether it's something that just happened and you can't live with it, or something that's chronic and has been putting up with for years and you're on opioids, which is something I want to talk about as we go through the program today. But, you know, why is low back problems so prevalent in our society? This is like craziness. You know, everybody, no matter who you talk, yeah, I'm okay, but if I take whatever it is that I'm taking, I deal with it. You know, if it's acute, well, yeah, I go and get my steroid injections. Or, you know, well, my doc says when the medication doesn't work anymore, I'm going to have to go through surgery, which doesn't work most of the time. What's the deal?
Well, you know, I think it's probably multifactorial. So I look at things like, unaddressed previous injuries. That's a biggie for me. And a person, in other words, injures their back sometime during their life and they don't really do what they need to do to rehabilitate it and strengthen it and get it back to where it needs to be. So, there's an underlying instability in their back moving forward. And then slowly over time, the structure starts to break down, be that the joints or the muscles or the ligaments or tendons. So it sets the person up for further failure. Second thing that I look at is what do we do for a living and how do we live? People have horrible posture, be it sitting at work or the way that they sleep at home. Again, as the posture degrades over time, we put more stress on the structure and the structure will start to fatigue and it'll fail. So I think between the two of those, we're going to probably find that 85% of the general population is going to fall into one of those two categories and maybe both.
This is, you know, truly, when we talk about conditions in our practice, we look at the triad. We look at structural, chemical, emotional pathways as triggering mechanisms as they affect the nervous system and inflammatory elements within the blood and the body's building up of toxins and waste and things just not working the way they're supposed to and then dampening the energetic platforms. So here we've got a pain pattern. We have low back. People are putting up with. They're taking their Advil. They're taking, you know, their acetaminophens, their codeine products and so forth just to exist, just to get themselves through the day. The problem is, as you know, that these things make life much more serious and complicated relative to the condition as time goes on.
Yeah, and I think one of the big reasons is because we're kind of programmed to believe that pain is common, and now we're told that it's normal to have back pain or normal to have headaches. So people are going to address it by taking what you just said, the over-the-counter medications, the Advils on a daily basis, and they're not going to think twice about taking the muscle relaxers or the Percocets or what have you as time goes by. So we're seeing a shift to people believing that we should have some sort of pain all the time, and it's quite sad.
We're not supposed to be in pain. We're not supposed to function at an impaired level. Here's an interesting, you know, concept, which you and I know, and I want to put it out to our audience. pain is a warning system, and it's not to be ignored.
No, absolutely not.
And particularly when it comes to low back pain, you know, just because, you know, you're able to dumb the pain down, I use those terminologies, taking whatever it is that you're taking, doesn't mean that the problem is gone. You've blunted the fire alarm. It's like the house is burning, but you're knocking out the fire alarm, so you're not being irritated by the fire alarm anymore, but the problem's still there. It's still degrading.
Yeah, and so certainly when the pain becomes more chronic, there's more significant situation going on there, meaning that the body's going to adapt to the dysfunction that's causing the pain, and we're going to see muscles get shorter. We're going to see tissues become more fibrotic or adhesed. We get trigger points in them, which in itself is a pain generator as well. So now we start propagating the problem by adding on top of it more and more dysfunction and ultimately more pain. And then the person has it chronically for long periods of time.
You know, let's talk about, you know, this is the time of the year that people are starting to notice back pain, believe it or not. You know, it's cold outside. The muscles are tighter. They don't relax as much. So things that are underneath all of that are going to make life much more significant. They're going to raise their ugly head, if you will. And, you know, we're coming into, you know, within another month, you know, God willing, the sun's going to come out. It's warm up a little bit. People are going to start thinking about golf. They're going to start thinking about tennis, the outdoor things and hiking. But all of a sudden they realize they're hurting. Their back is problematic. So, I'll take a couple aspirin, and they go out, and then they blow all kinds of things. What is a back problem relative to the mechanics? Let's talk about that a little bit. You touched upon it just slightly, but let's walk it through. You've got five bones in the low back, and in between you got these shock absorbers, they're called discs. And then you've got tissue and muscles and so forth that hold it together. And you and I both teach our patients that you have these nerves that come out and these nerves divide. And part of these nerves go to muscle. That's what makes them work, because if you cut them, you're paralyzed. And part of these nerves go to organ systems. And so you got this interlinking mechanism between the inside of the body and the outside of the body. And often when you talk to a patient, you say, you know, in the course of investigation, do you also have, for example, if you have pain at the low back, is your intestinal tract bothering you? And they said, yeah, why would you ask that? And so we have all these different pieces that are going on. So let's talk through that a little bit so people understand that low back pain can't be ignored because there's other ramifications.
So there's a lot of pain generators in the low back. Some are mechanical in nature, just like you said, when we have wear and tear on the disc or the cartilage, the joints, the ligaments, the tendons, the muscles. That'll cause a diffuse type pain. And for the most part, I think that's what the majority of folks suffer from, and I think it's the perplexing thing that the medical community has a hard time treating. It's, if you can't identify the specific cause of pain, then what are we going to do? We're just going to throw some sort of pill at it and just to try to neutralize it. On the flip side, we have neurogenic pain, which means that we're actually pinching a nerve. And that doesn't happen too much, but it certainly does in the case of disc herniations and things like that. So in that situation, the person's going to have a referral of pain. It's going to go down the leg. Maybe the foot's numb, or maybe there's weakness. But the majority of folks fall more into that mechanical low back issue. And it really is multifactorial, like I said before, in that we have muscles that get progressively weaker, we have joints that become progressively more unstable, and then we see the degeneration of the soft tissue components in between them, those discs and the cartilage break down, which just causes this to continue to spin out of control.
Dr. Harlan Browning, your host, your presenter, this Wednesday evening, January the 24th, 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing. He's going to be talking about acute and chronic low back pain. Listen, if you got a problem with your back, and we're talking about, you know, you put your hands on your back and going into your buttocks, and even, you know, with the sciatica pain, that means pain down your legs. If you're suffering for those problems, this is an opportunity really to find out what you can do differently and to turn this around and get off of these crazy medications that you're on and reclaim your life. Get it back. We're here in studio, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. And how you register for this class is part of our in-house continuing education series. All you need to do is go to RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com, RoselleCare.com, and you'll see a whole interesting pictorial of what we're talking about, and it says register now. Click that, do it. As you know, seating is limited, and we want to make sure that we have room for you. And Dr. Browning is amazing when it comes to letting you understand the most straightforward, easy, applicable terminology, probably more so than anybody else. I love listening to him talk, and you will too. Those of you who have heard him before know that he's brilliant. Doc, let's talk about this a little bit more. I want to cover these more in depth as we get into the program, but let's talk about spinal stenosis. You know, stenosis, degenerative changes, narrowing of that hole, if you will, where the nerve root comes out. And so many patients come into our office and they say, well, my doctor told me I have spinal stenosis and my only options are steroids or learn to live with it, or I have to go in and I have to do this crazy surgery where they're going to debride it and open up the hole. True or false?
True that a lot of people that suffer from stenosis, and that can either be what we call central canal, where the actual opening of the spinal cord has gotten smaller, and that could be maybe congenital in a small percentage of people, but more commonly because arthritis grows in there. And then we can also have something called lateral canal stenosis, where the little nerve exit, the opening there, it gets smaller as well because of a combination of the disc degenerating and then developing arthritis. So getting back to your initial question, you kind of just want to put things in reverse. So if we're losing space for that nerve, what can we do to open that space back up? So there's certain types of decompression that do extremely great job at stabilizing the spine and getting that person back up and running.
We use a technique in the office called Cox decompression technique, and it's a table, it's a unit, but we like it because we actually have to put our hands on the patient. It's not an automatic type of thing where you push buttons and let the computer run the series. You have to actually feel, after you've diagnosed and you've done your x-rays, your MRI and so forth, the area that's involved, and you can, isolate that in a way that you can decompress the nerve and open up the disc space, and over a period of time actually get some reforming of that disc, and with the patient shifting and changing some chemistry as well, it's amazing what takes place. You see changes in spinal structure that you wouldn't see otherwise.
Yeah, and the body has an amazing way to repair itself if you give it the capacity or you give it the platform to do it. So if you don't decompress the area, then this process just continues to move forward. So I think it's important to look at, you know, the strength of the muscles that surround it and the extent of the degeneration in the area.
When somebody comes up with spinal stenosis, you know, in one part of their body, they don't have to have it throughout. They don't have to have it in the upper back. They don't have to have it in the neck. They have it there in the low back. It's narrowed. It's crowded. It's crouched. What are some of the triggering mechanisms of that? We've got a minute before we have to take a break, but we'll touch upon it. We'll get back to it.
Well, certainly previous injuries to low back, you know, when you're younger, sports injuries or just a slip and falls and those types of things will start the ball rolling. Loss of a normal curvature in the spine. Spine has curves, and those are designed to help dissipate our body weight and gravity. And when we lose those curves, then it's like driving a car without brand new shocks. Every time you hit a bump, you're going to feel it. So same thing happens in the low back. In this case, the disc takes a lot of abuse and it slowly breaks down.
I want to continue on that thought because there's several things people need to know that they're ignoring, subsequently making matters much worse. My guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening, the 24th, Dr. Harlan Browning. We're going to be talking about acute and chronic low back pain. What you can do about it, you don't have to live with the stuff. Give us a call, 888-630-9625. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio. Hey, we got a break in the weather today. It's a little warmer, but don't let it fool you. You know, it's still only about 50 degrees, and, you know, don't go out there just open-shirted and you know, think that you're going to stay untouched. It's not okay. This craziness going back and forth from hot to cold, cold to hot, is not for the weak of immune systems. So be very careful, please. You know, watch yourself. 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here in studio. Dr. Harlan Browning, your host this Wednesday evening at the Results Center for Healing. Our program, our in-house continuing education program this week is acute and chronic low back pain. You know, if you've been sitting around shoving drugs in your body and taking steroid injections and contemplating surgery, this is an opportunity to fix that. 80% of you will suffer from low back pain at one point or another. don't deal with it through pharmaceutics, it's not okay. It just blunts it as it progresses and gets progressively worse. Let's go to the phones. Peggy, thank you for calling. How can we help you? Hello, Peggy.
Good morning.
Oh, there you are.
Yes. Isn't one of the other causes besides injuries that may have happened or poor posture, weak abdominal muscles and lack of core strength causes lower back pain?
Sure, but I would put that in the category of poor posture. Typically, when we have a weak core, it dictates our ability to sit upright and maintain our lumbar curve. So you're right. As those muscles weaken, then the curve in our back becomes straighter. And as that takes place, then the joints are going to start to jam prematurely and the disc is going to get involved. So without a doubt, a strong core is essential for a healthy back.
You know, we live in a society today, Peggy, that everybody sits. You know, you sit at work, you sit in the car, and very few of us really get out and do anything on a very active, routine basis. So, yes, you're absolutely right. Core is critical, and it maintains posture.
But doesn't speak to the general public. They just think they need to sit right in their chair.
That's very true, yes.
Sit right in my chair, and then my back won't hurt. And it's like, no, you need to strengthen your core and your weak abdominal muscles to support your back. Not just sitting right does it.
Well, when we talk about core as well, we're talking about stomach muscles, butt muscles, thigh muscles, back muscles, you know, all the way through, and the intrinsic muscles, not just the, you know, the Hollywood stomach muscles. So there's a lot of pieces that are involved in that. But Peggy, you're absolutely positively right.
You know, to build on the what she said, and it's a great question. And to touch on what you just referenced as far as the Hollywood aspect, we think of those six pack muscles. That's rectus abdominis. Well, in fact, the rectus abdominis is not part of our core muscle group. And the mechanism of that the rectus does is actually to make the abdomen distend, it pulls out. So the deep muscles in the spine, the multifidi, something called the transverse abdominis, the QL, are these muscles that are really designed to stabilize and hold things in place. So I see a lot of people engage in what they perceive to be a core training program that involves muscles that don't really have anything to do with the core, like the hip flexors. So when people do those butterfly kicks or they do the leg lifts on the Roman chair in the gym, that's activating a muscle that actually is antagonistic to the core. So you really want to take a step back when you look at your exercise prescription and make sure what you're doing is truly targeting that area that you think you're targeting.
You know, one of the primary core training exercises that, you know, anybody should begin to try and to do if you have any, if you think you have a strength, is basically a plank. And so you get on the floors in a push-up position, a military push-up position, but you're on your forearms. And you want to keep your body perfectly straight so you have equal pull on your stomach muscles and your back muscles and not bend anything. The goal is to be able to stay in that posture for 2 minutes. You know, obviously more the better, but so many people can't get up there and hold it for 15 seconds.
Sure.
And they collapse.
And one of the things that I stress with the patients that I work with who have low back pain and you know, for the most part, who have any kind of pain in their body, because the back is so inherently important to the rest of the body, is finding what's called pelvic neutral, meaning that as their pelvis rocks forward and backwards, they're going to typically find a spot that's the most comfortable for them, and that's what we call neutral. So in reality, when we exercise or when we sit or do any of these things, we want to find that neutral for us and do the activities in that position. So it becomes important for people to kinesthetically get aware of how their pelvis moves and where it's most comfortable.
It's important that we exercise. You know, when you see patients or people anywhere bent over and they just don't have the strength to put themselves in upward position, there's a couple of things there. One, your core is breaking down, but there's another piece that's very interesting. In traditional Chinese medicine, as we get older and the life force begins to dwindle, you see more forward postures as well. So people who, we know this anecdotally, that people who are bent over don't have a long lifespan as compared to the general population. So it's kind of an interesting correlation. And the reason that happens is there's a muscle group called the iliopsoas muscles, which you and I have to deal with all the time, that come from the back and go to the hip, that are involved in that whole scenario. But that's as they say, a story for a different day. We're coming up to a break. We're sitting here with Dr. Harlan Browning, the professor, talking about acute and chronic low back pain, which will be the presentation this Wednesday evening. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live in studio. It's a warmer day outside, but don't get too comfortable with it because colder weather is coming in the month of February. So be very, very careful, as they say. In studio, your presenter this Wednesday evening, the 24th of January already, and talking about acute and chronic low back pain, Dr. Harlan Browning. Doc, you know, we're talking about a condition that at some point is going to affect about 85%, 80%, 75%, depending on the author that you read, of the population. And at any one time, there's about 40 million people that are in acute low back scenarios. It's an awful situation. We're talking about not just tens of billions of dollars. We're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood, I think the last figure that I saw, somewhere between $90 to $95 billion a year, direct costs of low back pain.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. And, you know, one thing that we don't talk enough about is when a person starts to develop back pain and it transitions into a chronic situation, the body will often become what we call antalgic. In other words, it is moving away from the pain source and trying to reposition itself to make it, make us more comfortable. But that often comes at the expense now that we put more stress on the hips and the knees, the ankles, and so forth. So what starts as a simple back problem can now morph into more complicated things like, a chronic hip bursitis that just won't go away despite the fact that we're treating the hip. So the hip problem is now really a back problem that's masking itself.
888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you reach us here and talk to Dr. Browning. How you attend this Wednesday evening's lecture, you go to rozellcare.com. That's rozellecare.com. Scroll down about a third of the way down. You'll see the picture of a guy with low back pain. It says register now. Push that tab. Do it today. Do it right now. And we'll see you this Wednesday evening, and you can ask all the questions. We'll get you out of the problems that you're in. You know, here's the situation. So many people blunt the pain pattern by taking medications. They put it aside. They want to do away with it. They don't want to have to deal with it. But they're losing sight of the triggering mechanisms, the problem. You just touched upon it. So you got low back pain. Now those nerves are being affected, and pretty soon they end up with hip pain. They end up with a bursitis pattern because now that hip is no longer being supported by the muscular patterns because of neurological dampening, inhibition, if you will. And now you got a rubbing effect, and now you get degeneration, ultimately could lead to hip replacement.
Yeah. So this phenomenon goes on throughout the whole body, and really any joint can take on this role. When a joint becomes impaired in its normal motion, we refer to this as disaffrontation. In other words, the nerves from the joint that tell our brain where we are in space and what we're doing are dampened. So the rules of engagement have changed. So the brain will start to change what it does, and it'll make muscles become more active and overactive. So we'll often see other parts of the body become involved when we have low back injuries or even when we have a shoulder injury. Same thing happens in reverse. The shoulder is dysfunctional, so we move it less. Well, if we move the arm less, then we're going to move the opposite leg less. Well, if we move these limbs less over time, then the low back will become involved. So it can go both ways. The end game is making sure that the joint is stable and doing what it needs to do.
So you got a vicious cycle.
Yeah, it can be very vicious.
Let's go to the phones. Ronald, how can we help you?
Yes, Dr. Rozell, could you comment on this concept of regenerative medicine? I hear it on the news a lot. As an alternative to surgery.
That's a huge concept, and depending on what you're talking about and what area we get into. So let me just, we'll touch upon it. Regenerative medicine, or stem cell therapies are in the infancy stages, and there are tremendous amount of applications that are coming out. Stem cell therapies, the initial research started overseas in Israel as far as any really significant and fundamental applications. Then they came to the United States, and we're doing research here. But there are many offices now that are offering stem cell applications, anything from amniotic stem cell to chorionic stem cell. People are banking their cords of their children when they're born, and they pay a fee for them every year because the idea is that they can take these viable stem cells and use them for family members. They're taking them out of fat cells and reconstituting them into active stem cells. And the whole idea is that it regenerates the tissue and allows it to replace itself. And probably 10 years from now, there's going to be more of that than anything else, and restoration of disc spaces and joint spaces and so forth. We've sent patients out for stem cell therapy with some fairly decent results. Does it work in every case? No, not necessarily. But I've seen some before and afters, particularly knees and hips, where, you know, the patient has what looks like, you know, oh my God, it's almost, you know, 75%, 70% brand new. The pain goes away. But if they go back into the same problem, if they don't fix the structural imbalances, if they don't change the inflammatory reactions within the body's diet, you're going right back into that same posture pattern again. Does that help you a little bit, Ron?
Very much so. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you for calling.
You know, I'd like to add to that. We hear all these catch terms like regenerative medicine, and we hear bioidentical hormones. These are all the things that we're seeing pushed in the medical community. I think a lot of it has merit. I think a lot of it is generated because most of the time it's a cash-based procedure.
Yes, absolutely.
In the side of physical medicine, we've been seeing people use regenerative techniques for a long time, specifically something called prolotherapy. Prolotherapy would be an injection that actually irritates the site that it's injected into. The idea is the immune system will start to work and repair that. So as time has gone by and science has gotten better, then the different vectors of getting this done have changed, and stem cells one of them. I think you're right. It has a lot of promise, but it's like anything else. If the underlying issue that caused this degeneration of the joint is not addressed, it'll buy you time, but you're probably going to be getting that series of injections that probably going to cost you between $3,000 and $8,000 every 3 or 4 years. So I, you know, it's like going on a diet. You really never come off of it. You got to watch what you're eating. Same thing with the body.
Yeah. If you don't restore function, if you don't normalize the approximation of the bony system within the body, if you don't strengthen, if you don't watch what it is that you're fueling your body with, you're destined to break down again. And, you know, Doc, as you said, they run anywhere from literally about $3,500 up to, and depends on the area, as economies of scale, up to $8,000 or so for one injection. And, you know, do they work? In many cases, they have done extraordinarily well in their application. Now, coming up down the road, they're doing things like genetic editing. They're going to actually go in and be able to change the alphabet soup within the genetic code and reverse tons of stuff. Science over the years is going to be tremendous, but we're in the infancy stage. Does it work? In many cases, yes. However, not in every application. So we have to make sure that the cost factor is taken into consideration, and it's, you know, that we just say, well, let's just go get stuff done. There's patients that I look at their hips and I look at their knees and I say, I don't care, you know, what kind of stem cell you do at this point, unless you're off your feet and you're laying horizontal, you know, as soon as you get back on, after they inject you, as soon as you get back on that joint space, you're going to break it down if you don't change some other things. So there's a whole lot of things that really need to be considered. Would I send a patient out for it? Yeah, absolutely. I have in many, many situations, but it's a cost-effective procedure that you have to, you know, really take into consideration. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. My guest and your presenter and host this Wednesday evening, Dr. Harlan Browning, the professor. He's going to be talking about acute and chronic low back pain. It's affecting 80 to 85% of you over your lifetime. And at any one time, you got about 40 million of you that are suffering from this. This is a costly situation. We're talking about $85+ billion, B with a B, a year or more. You know, it's, you can do something about it. You can fix this. Sometimes, you know, take a look in the mirror. What's the size of that waistline? Doc, question. How many people, and I'm going to talk about, you know, you can, fat that you can see, and then that skinny fat person, the fat that you can't see. How does this contribute to low back pain?
Well, I mean, certainly when you're overweight, it changes your center of gravity. You know, when we've got a big stomach, it pulls us forward, which in many cases actually increases the curve in our low back. On the flip side, which you refer to as skinny fat, there's, you know, folks who look thin, but they don't have much muscle mass. So they have a tendency to have a straighter spine. So, you know, both of those extremes can be problematic. So you want to look at them equally, but you're going to often treat them a little bit differently.
How about people that, you know, that they're pushing all the time, and their muscles become unbalanced because they're eating up the nutrient basis within their body. Now, muscles weaken, spinal system shift, and now they have problems because of that. And so, for example, you know, muscles need to have proteins, they need to have minerals, they need to have potassium, they need to have magnesium. And, you know, they're always tight, they're always rigid, they're always in spasm, their legs are cramping, their toes are flaring. Those are warning systems. What are they telling us?
Well, they're certainly telling us that our metabolism is probably not where it should be. In other words, the way the physiology and the body works is not in an ideal state. So the muscles might be excessively tight. Or like you said, the person's getting Charlie horses. Or I see this all the time, is being diagnosed with restless legs syndrome. Many times restless leg syndrome is just a calcium or magnesium imbalance, where we get what's called a fibrillation or a fasciculation. In other words, we get this twitching of the muscle. And often it's so small that we can't see it. So what do we say? It feels like something's crawling under our skin. So person goes to a neurologist and will get diagnosed with restless legs, and they'll be put on medication for it, when in reality it's just a subtle imbalance in their physiology that they can't metabolize and utilize calcium, magnesium well. So yeah, you're right. You need to look at that as well.
888-630-9625. That's how you reach us here. How you attend this Wednesday's presentation on acute and chronic low back pain is simply going to your computer and going rosellcare.com, register. It says register now, make it happen, do it today. Otherwise, we have to tell you, not enough seats, and we'd love to have you there. Let's talk about a very simple thing that can cause a lot of pain and a lot of low back pain, and people notoriously neglect this one piece, and it's called water. The disc space is 75% water. How often is it that we see hardening of muscle tissue, ligamentous structure, degenerative changes in the back, simply because the patient's dehydrated?
Yeah, and these folks typically have global pain too. So they don't necessarily tell you about it, but they have a lot more aches and pains. And you're right, there's a lot of folks who are just dehydrated all the time. The brain's pretty good after a point in time to not bring our attention to things like we're thirsty. So then a person will get by with maybe one or two glasses of water a day. Very often they're drinking a lot of dehydrating agents like sodas or coffee that compound this. And maybe they're even taking a medication that dehydrates as well. Like
diuretic.
Yeah, diuretic. So combination of that. And then we're going to see that disc space break down, or any joint space, and we're going to see muscles get harder and less flexible.
You know, it's unfortunate. So many of these things are easily remediable. You don't have to deal with things. It's straightforward. You can get your structure fixed. You get back in where you need to be. You take the pressure off the spine. But if you think mechanically that's all you have to do and not pay attention to the physiology, it's a slippery slope into things that can happen that are much more serious.
Yeah, and chronic inflammation is definitely another component of this. So when we sit and we counsel a person about their condition, be it low back pain or something else, we're going to certainly look at their structure, but we're going to look at their physiology. And one of the ways that we're going to address the physiology is we're going to give them a dietary intake form for 7 days. Let's see what they're eating. A lot of people are slowly sabotaging themselves because they're not getting the nutrients in they need in their system. Maybe the foods they're eating that are very inflammatory or possibly even toxic. So you compound this over time, and the person is going to not only maybe have aches and pains, but now they've got sleep apnea, they've got GI problems, they've got allergies. So kind of it's a big picture thing when you're going to reestablish a person's health.
You have to look at all of it. You have to look at all the pieces, the stress patterns, and the biochemistry, the structural neglect, if you will. It's not okay. Let's go to the phones. Mike, thank you for calling. How can we help you?
You know, doctor, I'm in severe back pain right now. Actually, it's lower hip pain. I've been diagnosed with like sciatica, lumbago. I'm 66. I'm overweight. and I've been having these attacks. They keep getting worse. Can you speak to if massage or acupuncture or anything I could do immediately would help?
You know, Mike, certainly those types of treatments can be very helpful. I think the most important thing on the short term is figuring out what's causing this. And if you're having pain that's kind of referring into your leg, and this has been going on for a while, then an MRI would be a good place to start if you haven't had one.
That's what they all want me to do. I've had x-rays.
Mike, what you really need to have this looked at, you have to have an examination that's a functional exam. You've got to look at the alignment of the spine. You've got to look at the balance of the hips, the strength of the muscles. You've got to look at the dietary patterns. You've got to put it all together. And then based on that, a very specific program needs to be approached that will not only get rid of the acute pain, but get you back to a place where you don't have to deal with this. We're going to touch on it a little bit more when we come back after the break. It's a good question, Mike, and I think I want to open this up a little bit more. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday at 12 noon on the Eastern Seaboard. Those of you listening different parts of the country out in California, as many of you do, which surprises me very much, and thank you very much. 3 hours earlier, right? And again, those of you have tuned in through Armed Forces Radio and have found us and sent us emails and ask us questions, people, listen, you know, thank you very much for your service, and we'll try to serve you as best we possibly can. Mike, are you still there?
I'm still here.
All right, buddy. So I'm going to make this real quick because we're coming into the tail end of the program. So what you need to do is you've got to find out what's going on. There's no reason to suffer. You have too much weight on you. You've got to get that off. You've got to change the dietary pattern so your fuel's better. You've got to structurally strengthen the system. If the nerves are being irritated, you've got to decompress the nerves with somebody who knows what they're doing, somebody that does our work straight up. You're in Fredericksburg. There's some good people down there. An acupuncturist that is traditionally trained in conjunction with manual therapy can do you a lot of good, but you got to make a lot of changes. You're at an age right now, if you don't do it, those disc spaces are going to continue to degrade. You're going to end up with a significant stenosis that is going to leave you in pain the rest of your life. Not a good thing. You've got to move, and you got to move quickly. I hope that helps, Mike. Thanks for your call. I really appreciate it. Doc, let's talk about, you know, Mike should be there Wednesday night, and you know, so should other people that are listening to him.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Well, just to touch one little bit on what he's dealing with, you got to draw a line in the sand before your back problem becomes an impairment problem. Meaning, when we go from it just being I'm uncomfortable, I have pain, to now I have weakness, or maybe I have atrophy, the muscles are getting smaller, or I have drop foot. You know, these are real things that happen. So I can't stress the important part about that is when you have a pain, you've got to make sure that we're not getting any associated impairments or challenges into our activities of daily living.
You know, let me add a little bit something, you know, to all of this. You know, those of you who think that you're waiting to run off to surgery, we have a very well-respected surgical group, neurosurgical group that we work with. And many of you have listened to the program. You've heard Dr. Sid Shindella on the program with us, and we have tremendous respect for him. He's a great neurosurgeon, spends half his time on the brain, half his time on the spine. If we send him 10 patients that we want to have evaluated for surgery, he may operate on one, maybe two, but he's going to ask him a question. He's going to ask you a question when you go in. Have you done everything that you've been asked to do from a conservative platform? If you haven't, he'll send you back.
That's true. And you know, there's quite a few surgeons out there that get it, especially with low back. The percentages are not in their favor as far as the person being called a success 2 or 3 years later. It's about 50%. So they take their time and make sure that the person exhausts all conservative options because then there's no second thought in that person when they get the procedure, like, oh, maybe I should have tried this. Not to mention, again, 50% of them don't improve the scenario. So you want to make sure that the person is doing what they need to do.
And many of them get much worse after surgery.
Unfortunately, yeah.
What are you going to cover this Wednesday?
Well, you know, like I always do, I think if we review the mechanism of the problem, the anatomy and the physiology, then it becomes pretty straightforward. what's causing the issue, and then it doesn't take much more to understand how to fix it. Okay, if we have an issue that slowly, because of compression, we talk about ways to decompress the body. If there's an inflammatory component, then we talk about the physiology in the body that is anti-inflammatory. If there's lifestyle habits that are causing us to have issues, then we're going to review that too. And then we're going to talk about the specific modalities, the chiropractic, the acupuncture, the soft tissue, all of those types of things.
It's an important class. There's so much that is affected because of low back pain. And so many of you are limping along. You're on opioids. You know, the interesting thing, years ago, there was an article on WebMD, and this goes back to 2002, that said opioids should be used for low back pain. Now we know that the opioid epidemic, meaning that people are hooked, is causing all kinds of neurodegenerative dysfunction. Medicine is not always correct, so you have to be very careful. Figure out what you have to do naturally. Join us this Wednesday evening. Listen to Dr. Browning. He's going to give you the key to turning this mechanism around. We're coming up to that end of the program. Wish we didn't have to, but we've got to say goodbye to next week. Love you all. Bye.